Hello and welcome to Connecting to Host, a co-op and multiplayer gaming podcast where we talk about only the best and sometimes the worst co-op and multiplayer video games. Today we're going to be talking about Invisigun Heroes by Somber Studio, a multiplayer single-screen battle arena with a twist. Everyone's invisible. Predictable grid-based movement ensures that you know where you are, but other players don't. Vigilance is key as environmental tells, such as footprints and other disturbances, will point out careless cadets. So Invisigun Heroes is available on Steam for Windows, macOS and Linux, if you're so inclined, and costs around €15, or £12 kind of area. There's a four-player pack on Humble for about £30, which is going to give you a 25 to 30% discount if you've got four people that all want the game as well. There's also a guest edition, which lets you play a stripped-down version for free against friends who already own the full game, which is pretty awesome. We don't see many games that do that, so that's a nice way of dipping your toes in.
So yeah, it's a nice idea.
Yes, I quite like it. We didn't try it, but it seems good. So we played it in couch co-op, actually, which is a pleasant change for us, because usually we play online, although we did just play a quick couple of matches online to test out the online credentials. We've both been playing on our gaming PC. I've played it a little bit on my Mac as well, but yeah, so it's pretty good. So tell us about the game, John.
Yeah, sure. So a lot of buzzwords here, but it's a 2D, fast-paced, stealth-focused, single-screen battle arena game with pixel art. But essentially, picture a fast-paced Bomberman where you're invisible half the time and you have guns instead of bombs. So there's a variety of game modes that make up the game. Nearly all of them feature a bunch of short rounds where a different person will win or score a number of points at the end of the round. And then you'll play a few rounds and then one of the players will win. The whole thing lasts about 5 minutes, I guess, for maybe 5 or 10 minutes for a game. And then you can just hit go again and start again. So all the characters start in, I say a corner, like at least a quadrant. Quite often it's a fair way apart, but sometimes on the more convoluted levels you actually start quite close, but there's a wall between you. And then after 3 seconds, you get to kind of orient yourself. All the characters go invisible and you move around the arena and you remain invisible unless you do something to give yourself away, such as bumping a wall, walking over snow, maybe walking through a bush. Firing your weapon, crucially, makes you visible for a couple of seconds. So once you fire, you're kind of committing to letting people know at least the region of where you are. I mean, where you are exactly for a second or two, and then hopefully you can disappear into the night again. Now, that sounds a bit crazy, being invisible all the time, but it's actually based on a grid. So you can tap the D-pad a number of times to move exactly 3 squares up. And that helps you keep track of your location. Granted, it's not that easy when you start to keep exactly where you are, but you get the hang of it pretty quick. There's 60 different maps. 60, that's a lot, spread over 5 different worlds. And there's a whole bunch of interesting dynamics that appear in the levels, like there's snow, which leaves footprints. Some of them feature areas where you can shoot and then they get, like, some tiles get destroyed so you can walk over them, and some other ones have buttons which you can push to open and close doors or switch bits of the map around. There's a bunch of characters, so each pair starts off by picking a hero. I think there's about 6 or 7, but each one has their own fairly unique ability. So one of them has a ground pound, that's your favourite, right?
Yeah.
So it stuns nearby enemies. One of them has the ability to just jump over a block, so you can get out of a jam or get into the action. And one of them has a crazy ability where you can, like, send a little phantom out and you can control a little ghost version of yourself to try and lure the player in, and then you can kill it and play the real version of you.
You were quite good. Like, we started playing it and I won the first match with the ground pound guy, and I was like, yep, this will do for me. And I just took the same person the whole time. And you're like, I'm going to try all these different characters. And, oh, that's a cool ability. Oh, that's great. I feel like I'm really doing research for our podcast. And I'm just sat winning match after match, ground pound.
Yeah, I think you're more likely to win if you stick with one character, at least in the short term.
But or if you're awesome.
I wanted to. Yeah, or maybe that, yeah. Maybe that. But I was like, I want to learn the different abilities and see what there is to offer. So, and we are podcasting after all. But generally speaking, one shot will kill the enemy. So it's pretty tense as you're darting around the map, because you know as soon as someone gets a shot off, the shots, it's a very arcadey game, so sometimes you can dodge them if you're far enough away, if you're really quick.
And also you can shoot other people's projectiles as well. So if you both shoot at the same time, they cancel each other out almost. And then if you fire again quickly, then sometimes you can catch them. And there's, like, certain abilities that daze people and stuff as well. I think if you walk into each other, you both get dazed for a second as well, where you can't shoot. Kind of like when you get shot in laser tag and you can't fire your gun for a couple seconds. It's similar to that.
And one of them's got like a block she can put down in front of her, which is like a mirrored block. And if you, so if the enemy shoots you and you put this block down, it bounces the bullet back. I didn't find it very effective, but maybe it's a pro hero, which I couldn't get the hang of.
So in terms of multiplayer specifics, well, first of all, single player is basically, you're always going to be playing in games of with four people, I think. I don't think there's a way to turn that off, is there?
Maybe you can do one-on-ones. You can pick how many bots are in the stage. So if you only have zero bots and two players, then it's basically a 1v1.
I think if you're a single player, then you're always going to be playing against someone else, because otherwise you'd automatically win. So it's always two to four people. But whether or not they're real people or not is up to you. So single player is the same as online, basically. It's just that you're playing against bots. So there's local co-op for up to four players, and similarly online co-op with up to four players. And as you mentioned, you can fill the slots with AI bots. And I think they have adjustable difficulties, do they?
There's just easy, medium, and AI hard. Rating. There's three stages, but
And then there are several different game modes. So in addition to the 60 huge variants of maps, there's also a ton of game modes. And we played through quite a few of these. I think we played pretty much every one of them.
We did play all of them. We gave each one at least a round. So.
Okay, that's good. So survival is the last hero standing, gets 1 point in that round. So that's a pretty standard everyone shooting, and the last one who doesn't die gets a point, and then it's first to a number of points, or most in a number of minutes, I think, is another one. But it's almost the same thing. So in hunter mode, it's similar, but every kill earns a point, so people just respawn. But the more people you kill, the more points you get. Zone control is a basic King of the Hill mode. And that was like, it was like a little quadrant that you had to stand in. Because obviously, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, how do you do King of the Hill mode if you're all invisible? That must be very difficult. And basically, there's like a grid that you have to stand in. It's like maybe quite big, like 5x5 tiles or something.
Yeah, and when you stand, it's covered up with scenery, but yeah.
And when you stand in it, then it doesn't show where you are in that quadrant, but the whole quadrant lights up in your colour. So you know you're in it and other people know you're in it. And if there's more than one person in it, the colour changes to something neutral. That if you're a pink player and then a blue player comes in, it doesn't do purple, it does something weird. I think it just makes it a uniform green or something.
That's a contested colour. Yellow or something.
So that was pretty cool. I thought that was quite clever mechanic, because it's weird when you're invisible as to how these things were going to work. It's like, be interesting. There was carrier, which was a bit of a weird one. You had to survive for a length of time while holding an item. So you had to go and pick up an item and then you just run around with it. And the longer you hold it for, the more points you get. Land grab, I really enjoyed this one as well. This one was very similar to Flip Wars on the Switch, where basically you paint the ground behind you as you walk along. And whoever has the most painted ground at the end wins. And that leads to an interesting tactic, because obviously the more ground you cover, then the easier it is for people to steal your land away from you. Because if you've got like 80% of the board painted, then pretty much where anyone walks is going to encroach on your points. And if you've overstretched at the beginning, then suddenly you have three people can all walk through your territory and just slice it down ridiculously quickly. And I found a good tactic in that was watching you fall into that trap, and then I would just, while you were shooting people, mop it all up at the back just before the timer went. So that was a really good mode. Made it feel like a completely different game. It was a different mode, because it's not all about killing, it's just land ownership. And then the final mode is Beast Tamer. Now, this one was really weird, where there's like these little beasts appear on the map and you have to stand next to them for a certain amount of time to like tame them. It's basically King of the Hill mode again, but very small and there's lots of them. kind of a bit like Hardpoint in Titanfall, maybe, I guess.
They went away after a while, right? So you got like 20 points out of them by standing next to them, and then it disappeared, so you have to go and find another one. It was fun.
So you can play any of these game modes online, and the way that the online matchmaking works is pretty cool. I mean, you've got standard, go into lobbies and search for games, and you can specify all kinds of different criteria, like you can drill down into specific maps if you want to. But if you want to play with friends, you can do it through the Steam invite system, or you can use a nice little lobby code, which I always like because it feels proper old school, where someone creates the game and then it's like, oh, here's a 6-digit code that they read out to you that you type in, and then suddenly you're in a game and it feels like magic, but really it's the same thing but manual. So that's pretty much, I think, everything of the game, really. It's not a complex game, it's just really tight, systems driven game. As you say, it's Bomberman with invisibility.
Yeah.
It's probably the
Which
best
sounds very simplistic,
it.
But it's it was good. It was a good game.
So we always talk about our likes and dislikes and some comments. So you're going to kick things off today with your first like.
Yeah. So, I mean, just I want to say I had a bunch of fun playing this game with you. I mean, we played it for let's just try a couple of these little 2D indie games to see which one takes off. And this was the biggest surprise for me over that weekend when we sort of did loads of gaming, and it was just, wow, this is really fun. I mean, we must have played it for a couple of hours, right? Just all the different modes over and over.
And then
it was really fun.
We got back from a night out at 4:30 in the morning, and it's like, Invisigun Heroes!
Just an hour more.
And I fell asleep playing it, but I was still winning somehow.
Not by the end.
That's when we knew I was getting tired, is when I started losing.
But I'd say it has that great quality, which is that it's really easy to pick up and play. Within your first round, you're getting into the stealth action of it. But I think it's probably pretty hard to master. If you're going to play this against the same people over and over, I think you'll go through a lot of waves of like, oh, I've got this. And, oh, man, I don't have this. And then there'll probably be some little metagame underneath as well. Like, oh, Ben always waits to the end to pick up the tiles. But he always starts on the corner. So I'm going to get that. I'm going to abuse that knowledge. And there'll be like a nice little metagame. And it felt very tense when you're playing, because one shot away from death. And pretty strategic. So overall, it hit a lot of the right buttons for me. And we had a lot of fun playing it together. Would have been awesome with four of us, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. And from my point of view, my first like is just that the level design is just spot on. There's so much variety. So many different little pieces of the environment that have been well thought out. So like snow, little covered bits or puddles. And if you go through it, you just see and you hear it as well. The sound design is excellent for this, because you can hear a little splish, 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 which is really important when it gets to like 1v1 and that wasn't you. And maybe you haven't seen exactly which puddle moved, but you've heard that there was one. There's maybe four puddles on the map. You're like, okay, they're definitely in one of these areas. So that's really cool. But just like the sheer number of maps as well. Mm. And they're all slightly different, and there's lots of different styles and things. I really liked some of the environmental effects. Like, we started at one match that was like in a marshland type thing, and it was just raining, and that made it a lot harder, because suddenly that tell of walking through the water didn't help, because it was just raining. And there'd be like lightning flashes as well, and the whole thing would shake. The map shook, and like it all... Maybe it showed everyone for a little bit when it did it. I can't remember specifically, but I remember thinking, oh, that's really nicely done when they did that. So huge amount of variety, huge amount.
Oh, my favourite word, variety. Oh, yeah.
Certainly is.
And it's going to feature in my next like a little bit. But I mean, overall, the game had tons of variety, which I loved. But I did like the hero abilities too. I thought there was a nice range of different hero abilities. I mean, you wouldn't know, but...
Well, I saw them. I saw them get crushed under my ground pound.
Bang! But everything from the slam, which was kind of nice, because when you got up close, you knew you had superiority. So it's like, stay away from where he might be. Don't try and play the close game. One of them was a samurai, and he had like a stun attack, which you could spam a bit faster than your slam.
Yeah.
So you could do the slam and it affected everyone maybe one square around you. But the samurai guy would hit only like the three in front of him, but you could use it more often. So that was a good counter to your guy. But then, like I say, there was a whole range of them. So there was the one that could jump over squares. So that was kind of nice. It's like, oh shit, Ben's there. I can't beat him right now. Leap over the block. Get away, hide again, come back and fight him from afar. So most of the matches did end up with you and I at the end, because I guess we didn't put the AI on hard. We had them on medium.
No.
And they died pretty quick. But it was still nice to have them there, so that you had something to... They were more like obstacles to get to the other person. But it was still fun.
I don't think we mentioned the power-ups, did we? There's like... if the match takes a bit too long, like I think it's like 20 seconds to be fair, but
you can customize that, but yeah, it's 20 or 30
by default. 20 or 30 seconds, this little block drops in, a little crate, and inside there's sometimes power-ups, because I remember there was one power-up which let you shoot your bullet travel through people. So if there were two people in a corridor running towards you, if you shot them, it would kill the first one and then kill the second one because it would travel through them. And that was pretty cool. A few other things like that. Just so much little stuff like that that gets added to it. And then again, I mean, we mentioned the game modes. There's so many, like the variety in terms of, sure, you've got your standard first-person shooter tropes like King of the Hill and a basic, not really capture the flag, but that beast-taming thing, which was similar and a bit weird.
Yeah.
But then you've got like the land grab mode. The land grab mode was great. I absolutely loved that mode. That was made it feel like a completely different game to the one that you were playing beforehand.
And there was a good, like you could customize the rounds to some degree as well. So you could say, hang on, make the airdrops come in every 10 seconds to make it a bit more frantic, or maybe have higher or lower points to win the match. So there's a little bit degree of customization there too.
Yeah, cool, similar to...
Custom levels would be awesome.
Probably similar to like Worms or Super Smash Brothers in terms of like the customization, where there's a lot, or even Video Ball. Remember how much customization that had? That was crazy. Quite a lot to tweak there. But yeah, you're right, modding would be really nice actually. If you can add your own maps or a map builder even.
Yeah, just like a little in-game map builder would be cool with the 5 world tile sets. But
One of the my final like is, it's a small thing, but I do like it, is that at the end of each match, it has like, it shows you an instant replay of the moment the person won. So it might show you like the last 2 seconds of the person just shooting and go, boof. But the nice thing is that the replay shows where everyone was. It like has like little blue squares to denote a person that was invisible. So you can see, oh, that's where they came from in that replay. Because obviously in the heat of the moment, you just suddenly pop out of nowhere and shoot each other. And so you actually can see each other. But you can go all the way back, and it does it like a VHS scrub thing where it sort of goes, and like the whole screen waves. And then you can export it as a GIF, which is just a nice touch. And again, because it has that bit that shows everyone, you can have the entire match exported and just see all these little blue triangles moving around and see what's going on. So dislikes.
You just push one button to get your GIF, which is pretty cool. Just push start and it saves the GIF. So
yeah, it's nice. So dislikes. The first, I mean, it's both of these are going to be similar, really, that they're part of the same problem. It's an indie game. It's not got hundreds of thousands of people playing it. There's hardly any people playing concurrently, and most of them are probably playing either on their own or they're playing with their friends. So if you go on and go, oh yeah, I'd like to play a match of this, you're going to be shit out of luck.
Yeah.
It is quite nice that they've put like a link to their Discord channel in the matchmaking thing to say, hey, you should go here to this forum, because then you can chat about and try and find people that want to play. But realistically, you're not going to find anyone online.
No, I looked at the Steam Spy page, and I'm sure that the number of players, it was like peak concurrent players yesterday, 6.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not saying that there's not people playing it, but I think they're not playing it at the same time. You know, I think they said there's something like 1,000 to 2,000 players in a fortnight, which sounds reasonable for an indie game. But this relies on them being online at the same time.
Yes. And spread out maybe across the world.
It's, you know, and maybe we just play it for like, you know, you probably play it for an hour or two, right? It's not like PUBG where you'd sit in it for a whole day. Yeah. Just an hour or two. And then if you split 1,500 people over 2 weeks, that's not many per day. And then by 24 hours, that's about 6 an hour. So I guess they're fairly well distributed. So, and that's a shame, and that leads me on to my dislike, really, because there wasn't much else to dislike about the game other than the fact that if you're not going to be playing it with your friends, there's not a huge amount to enjoy, unfortunately. So I would say that when you play against the AI, it's not as fun, because a big part of the fun is outwitting your friend. you know, I'm guessing what they're going to do. And you have that kind of, if you ever played the board games like Resistance or what's the other one? I won't say Avalon, but all these kind of werewolf type games where you've got people that you play with and then you start to kind of second guess them. Like, are you the spy? And we used to always have a friend that had a friend at work. And we used to play this game, and every time I asked him, are you the spy? And if he replied with, like, yes, I'm the super spy, I knew he actually was. That was his tell. But then after a while, you get to learn that tell, right? So now when I ask him, are you a spy? He always has to say, yes, I'm the super spy, regardless of whether he is or not. So that was kind of a meta game that went over about 10 real games. And now there's other things you're trying to look for and find. And I think you get the same sort of game with this, with your friends. Obviously, with AI, you don't get that.
No.
You can't really outwit the AI in the long term. It's just a single match and figuring out what it does. But against human beings, it's really fun. So that's my gripe.
It's very much like, it reminds me of playing GoldenEye at school, where you'd all be sat around playing, you know, four-player split-screen multiplayer, and people would be like around you, like going, oh, he's coming, headshot, and then, but no! People are like standing up, throwing controllers down, all that kind of stuff. It's very much like that with this, where it's like when you hit someone and you know you're both trying to outwit the other and wheeling around and hit you, like literally throw my hands up and be like, yeah, I'm the winner. The winner. They've tried really hard to make the single player good. I mean, there is a huge amount there because, again, you've got all of these maps. There's all these different maps that you unlock through the single player, and you unlock more difficulty modes and stuff. But it's just quite grindy. It's not a huge amount of fun playing the AI, especially as it is weighted against you. So even on like easy or normal difficulty, I think it was, when it was me versus three other people, all AI, I had to get 4 points before the match would end. So that meant playing four matches and I had to win each one. And if they shot me just once, they got one win, then that was game over. And it's like, then you have to redo it. So quite often I'd do it three in a row and then I'd lose the fourth. And it's like, okay, do it all again. It's like, I can't be bothered.
Yeah, that's not enticing.
And also that it's cute and it's clever. Like, it has like a mechanic where you press A to say that I'm ready to start playing when you're all in the match together. And for the AI, they've made it look like they're real people by like simulating it. So they have like a random time of like 1 to 3 seconds where they'll say, bot ready, as if they're like pressing a button like real people. But when you're playing single player and it's just like restart the game and then it's like waiting 10 seconds for the bots to say, yeah, I'm ready. It's like, it was cute earlier, but now it's just annoying. So that minor gripe aside, though, I mean, it's they're minor dislikes for something like this, I feel.
Yeah, I think. And we review games from a co-op perspective, and as a co-op game, it's really good. So,
yeah.
Or multiplayer game. I wouldn't say co-op.
No. Is it like a team-based mechanic? Could you team up? Could you be 2v2?
I don't recall there being one, no.
No. That'd be cool. Okay, so comments. So do you have anything that's neither a like nor a dislike with this game? A
couple of really minor things that I'll just bundle together, really. So like I said earlier, it's pretty fun with two players. Even with AI bots, like, don't get me wrong, with two players and AI bots, it worked really well because there's a bit of noise to randomize the level, but you're still just hunting down the other player. But I think with three or four, this would be gold. I think if I could take it to the office one Friday and get four people around the computer with some beers, this would be really fun and proper maddening, because you'll get the fun. Like when there's four players, you'll be running around, someone will drop out, someone else will drop out, and there'll be two left and people will have to watch, you know. And that will raise the tension when you've got two of your friends watching you, the last two man standing, running around the map and trying to guess where you are. Like, building up the anxiety.
It's very much like Worms or Bomberman. I mean, it's even in that same genre and style as both of those games, really.
Bomberman, I think, is the closest like analogy I can think of. If you
definitely,
like, all the same things I would say about this probably apply to Bomberman. I wouldn't play it against the computer. I wouldn't, you know, two people it's good, but four people it's best. I think it's exactly the same sort of feeling and the same feeling of game. So just another quick side.
But it doesn't cost £40, so
no. God, that's ridiculous. But that's Super Bomberman.
Super Maybe Bomberman
really
are.
Super Invisigun Heroes are. And it'll be £40. but yeah, so a quick other note is you can use joypads, but you can also use the keyboard. So if you are all huddled around one computer, or you put your computer into the TV, you've only got a couple of controllers, that's not a problem. You can definitely have one player on the keyboard. I don't remember if you could have two, because that wasn't a scenario we needed to worry ourselves with. But, you know, a couple of controllers and the keyboard, you can get all your friends around the same machine and start playing. So, yeah.
So the only comment I had is that this is a successful Kickstarter story. And it's one of those nice ones where it started in January 2016. And they said, it'll be out December. And then it came out February the following year, which is pretty good. I mean, you know, 1 month, 2 month slip is small change in Kickstarter territory. Usually,
still
if you're
waiting for my 3D printer from a year and a half ago,
I'm still printing it. So they only wanted $30,000. I mean, I say they only wanted that much, it's a fair chunk, but it's not anything compared to a lot of Kickstarter things. And they got 36,000, which meant that unfortunately they didn't unlock any of their stretch goals, of which the first one was for 40,000. They were going to port it to Xbox One, PS4, and the Wii U. And that's a shame, because if they'd done that, then obviously they would never have ported it to the Wii U. They would have waited and ported it to the Switch. And this game, if this had been a launch title on the Switch, they would have made so much money.
Yeah, that would have been a good start for them.
Like, bear in mind that the Switch launched with what? Zelda, Super Bomberman R,
and that fucking
Dance,
milking cows game.
1-2 Switch, and Snipperclips. That was it.
Yeah.
I think Snipperclips actually came a few days later as well. It wasn't even day one. If this had launched alongside £45 Bomberman R, even if they charged twice the price they charged for it on Steam, they would have mopped up. So it's a sad story of a gold mine missed. But yeah. I still think if this game came out on the Switch, it's the perfect platform, because, you know, you've got the Joy-Cons, so you could do the local play, you could do the multiple Switches to do it that way. You could even make 8-player matches quite easily, I think, with the Switch. It might be a bit too frantic, but they've got enough characters that you could do it. So I really, really hope they bring it to the Switch. If they bring it to the Switch, I will be the first person to buy it, because I would love to play it on the Switch.
And the Switch is like a slightly different like play environment. So I could picture myself buying it again on the Switch. Like you say, either for some two-player play. Like if I'm on a flight with my wife or something, I could picture us just cracking the Joy-Cons off and playing it two-player. It only needs two buttons, I think, if I remember rightly. Like a shoot and a special button. And I could also picture myself, like I sometimes think when I go away for a few days, it'd be nice to have some games that you and I could play just on the Switch if I'm away. And it's like, yeah, I've got an hour or two to kick back in the hotel room at night. Let's play some games. And okay, now we have Rocket League on the Switch, which is nice, but something like this would be perfect for that. A bit more laid back. Well, not really a laid back game, but when I'm not sitting on my PC, when I'm expecting to play something big 3D shmite. Yeah. So
you want to really test the GTX 1080 with that pixel art.
Oh, yeah.
I think to go back to what you were saying as well about playing it in an office environment, that being able to, like, you already at work, take your Switch and play quite a few local games, don't you? And this would be perfect for that as well. So yeah, that's everything. So in conclusion, we always ask two questions: would we play it again, and would we recommend it? So John, will you be playing it again? Will you be recommending it?
Yeah, I mean, I hope the next time we meet up, there'll be a little space in our heart for just an hour of Invisigun Heroes, especially if we meet up with a friend or two more. That would be really good. Would I recommend it though? That's a tough one. I would 100% recommend it if you've got local friends you can play with, because you only have to buy one copy and you can share it with your friends. If you're buying it to play online, I'd probably say wait for a sale. Just because if four of you wanted to buy it, there's a bundle you can get with Humble, right, where you can get four copies for the price of three. So you can get four copies for £35.
Oh, it's actually cheaper than that. It's about 30%. I think it was £30 it worked out as. Mm. And that would normally cost you £48, £46, something like that. So it's a pretty decent reduction.
Now, that's not a bad deal, but I'm not thinking you're going to get a huge number of hours out of it. Unless you got a group that you play with together with a lot. So I would potentially wait for sale. I'm teetering on the edge for that. If it had an online community, no question about it, buy it and play it, because then you could play a match whenever you wanted. But the fact it's limited to when you can find time with your friends to play it, essentially, that's the only thing that makes it a question mark for me. Definitely still at least on sale, if not, you know, buy it and play it locally with your friends. So if it was 10 euros or £7, I think I would just say, yeah, buy it. Whatever. So
I think that's fair. From my side, I definitely like to play it again. I mean it was one of the highlights of my trip to Sweden, was playing Visigun Heroes. And bearing in mind that was the weekend where we played Cuphead, we played Mario Plus Rabbids, we played Overcooked, we played I watched you play Little Nightmares. We played loads of games, really good, some of them like big studios behind them or huge indie titles, and this single one person studios come out with this game that I couldn't stop talking about on the flight home. I was like, oh, I can't wait to get home so I can fire up the PC and play some Visigun Heroes when I get back. So I definitely want to play it again. I would recommend it. I think, bearing in mind the amount of enjoyment I've got out of it, I think £11, whilst, you know, I can't even say it's a steep price. I don't think it is. I've played a lot more for a lot shitter. Watch Dogs. So I would recommend it. And I think it's a good indie developer to support as well. I'm looking forward to seeing what else they come out with, because this was a really, really polished experience. Like, every detail about it is beautifully put together. But to take your point about pricing, I mean, they've got this free edition that you can download to give it a try. Or a demo, and if you've got a friend that owns it, you can at least play a couple of maps with them. I'm not sure exactly in what way it's limited, whether there's just certain characters or certain maps or game modes or time, or I don't know, but that would be a way to check it out. But yeah, great game, really great game. Cool. So thank you very much for listening. You can find all of our other episodes on our website at connectingtohost.co.uk. I sort of mentioned a couple of the episodes there, actually, because our last few shows have been on Overcooked, Mario Plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, and Cuphead. And we've also talked about things like Elite Dangerous. I'm trying to think what else we've talked about recently. Other stuff. It's all great, so go and check that out. We're going to be talking about Shadow Warrior 2 in our next episode, and then at the end of the year we're going to be rounding up our favourite co-op gaming experiences of 2017, so they're to look out for in December. If you'd like to suggest any games for us to play, you can of course do it at CTHcast on Twitter.
I just had one quick thing to add, because I just found it out, but the guest edition, you can actually play with someone else with the guest edition, so it's essentially a demo. So download the guest edition and play it with your friends. You get 3 of the heroes, 5 of the maps, and you can play with one of the player. So go grab it and play it.
So it's literally a demo that you can play multiplayer. That's a very rare thing.
Go do that shit.
And then go and buy it. I mean, that's a great developer that's willing to do that. That's amazing. Anyway, so if you have a game you'd like us to play, you can suggest it on Twitter at CTHcast. And if you enjoy the show, please do consider leaving an iTunes review. I don't know if it makes any difference at all, but we have egos and they like to be stroked. Thanks very much, and we'll catch you next time.